Let's go today. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I titled this Resurrection Life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you know, it's a landmark section on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll start in verse 12. And look at some aspects surrounding the resurrection. In verse 12 it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." So if Christ is not raised, here by revelation we learn, if he's not raised, then our preaching is vain. There's no point to it. It's empty. Our faith is vain. Everything we believe is emptiness. And we're false witnesses of God. So we're going around saying things that are false witnesses of God. Right? To God. Tissue. And also, we are also in our sins. And those who died believing in Christ are perished, and we are to be the most pitied of people. There's a lot riding on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Virtually everything we believe, our whole lives, everything we stand for, is riding on the resurrection of Jesus. So thank God for verse 20. But now is Christ risen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, which means there are other fruits to follow. Now is Christ risen. So if that's the case, then let's look at all the other aspects that we just read about here in 1 Corinthians. John chapter 13. Let's go to John chapter 13. John 13. Go to verse 33, Jesus Christ teaching them. He says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, you love one another, and as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou?" He obviously heard Jesus Christ when he said, "Where I'm going, you can't come." He goes, "Hang on a second. Where are you going?" "Whither I go," he says, "thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." What's he talking about? That you're going to follow me afterwards. Is he talking about, oh, you're just going to die? He's talking about the resurrection. Isn't he? Later on, now, this applies not just to the gathering together, it applies to all those who will be raised later. They're going to follow afterwards, because we know from 1 Corinthians, we didn't go there, where it says that every man's going to be raised in his own order. Jesus Christ is talking about, you're going to follow me afterwards. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? Why can't..." Peter, right? It's always, "I will lay down my life for thy sake. I'll do whatever you want." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down my life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled." Chapter 14, verse 1. "You believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also." See, he's saying, you're going to follow me afterwards. This is what he's talking about. And then whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Before he said, you can't follow me now, but he's telling me, you know how to get there. Thomas said, well, hang on a second. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? They're so logical in their questions, right? But just a second. Jesus said, I am the way. You want to follow up? You want the resurrection life? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, if Christ is raised, as we read in 1 Corinthians, then are these people going to be there with him afterwards? So is there, according to what we read in Corinthians, those people who believed on him, then are they perished? Absolutely not. Because he said, you're going to follow me afterwards. Where I'm going? And was he raised? We just read he's raised. So therefore, those who believed on him aren't perished, like it said in 1 Corinthians, because he's been raised. He absolutely has been raised, so they're not going to perish. Acts chapter 2. It's interesting to see that all these, the context of all the sections we're going to look at, mentions all those aspects in 1 Corinthians 15 that we read. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The resurrection had been prophesied. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. That's what he was talking about, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised, whereof we all are witnesses. Were they false witnesses? No, because we just read that God raised him from the dead. This was prophesied, and God did exactly what he said. It was someone's on the phone lines. Can you go on mute, please? We can hear some noise there. We're all witnesses. Therefore, verse 33, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. I think we sang a song earlier. Can you guys all speak in tongues? Was the Spirit given? Then was he raised? You see, one thing just confirms the other. And he says, of this we are witnesses. Well, in 1 Corinthians, he said, well, if he hasn't been raised, they're false witnesses. But here we know that he was raised, therefore they're not false witnesses. The Spirit was given, so we know that he was raised. Was there preaching in vain here? Absolutely not. In Acts chapter 3, there are just so many sections that bear witness to this wonderful truth of the resurrection. Acts 3:14. But you denied the Holy One and the just. And it's also interesting when we read these sections to recognize that when these men witnessed the truth of the gospel, what did they mention? They mentioned the resurrection. They mentioned that God got him up. Acts 3:14, but you denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Whereof, again, we are witnesses. Not false witnesses, but witnesses of the resurrection. And the great witness, we didn't read it in Acts chapter 3, of the witness, what is the thing that made them great witnesses? The Spirit of God. Because that wouldn't have been given if he had not been raised. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man whole, strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So, were they still in their sins then? No, he says that your sins may be blotted out. The sin problem was taken care of by Jesus Christ. Down to verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So they're no longer in their sins. These men who preached to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, their witness was not in vain. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Acts chapter 5. Just be fun to read through some verses today. I'm sure you know them all, but good for us to remember how much the resurrection is a part of the preaching of these men throughout the first century church. So, you know, maybe it gives us a little bit of an inkling of the kind of things that we maybe want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And to recognize that when you preach the resurrection, your preaching is not in vain either. Even if they don't believe you, your preaching is not. And you are not a false witness because you have the Spirit of the living God within you, which was given because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So are we still in our sins? Was Christ raised? Absolutely. So we are no longer in our sins. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The household of Cornelius when Peter was there. In verse 40. Him God raised up the third day. There he is again. They're again preaching, and they're talking about the resurrection. Showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, talking again about their mission and talking about future judgment. All the things, you see, everything centers on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, including future judgment, including the future resurrections. It all centers on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that he got up. Acts chapter 17, Paul in Athens. Chapter 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, all the world, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. he's marked out him as the one. He is the one by the resurrection from the dead. And guess what? This is leading to judgment in the next age. Centers on the resurrection. Acts chapter 24. Maybe the book of Acts makes a pretty strong point, doesn't it? Acts 24. I had to really pare down some of these sections. There's just so much in the Bible about the resurrection, which is wonderful. Acts 24, verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest know that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove all the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Even that centers on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is actively involved in what happens in those resurrections, in that resurrection. Verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and ought, if they had aught against me, and object. Or else, lest these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." Look at the key point, why he was brought here, the resurrection. It's central to all thinking. It's central to all that God had planned in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Paul's brought up and he said, the reason I'm here, nothing else except the resurrection. That's why I'm here. "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of the way, he had deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should have forbid none of his acquaintance to come unto him or minister unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning his faith and in Christ, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." Again, talking about the things to come in the future, all centering. And he taught earlier that all that centers, and God marked Jesus Christ as the one that's leading to those future judgments, and Jesus will be well involved in that. Felix trembled, got a little bit annoyed and upset, and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." I know we looked at this verse before and a few weeks ago, but hey, maybe people out need to hear about the resurrection. Maybe they need to hear that if they don't believe in the resurrection, there's a judgment coming in the future that's going to involve some pretty important decisions that you might have made today. Why do you think Felix was trembling? Can you imagine this man? He goes, what happens if what Paul's saying here is true? Well, because of the resurrection, it is true. His witness was not in vain. His preaching was not in vain. And his believing was not in vain. Because Jesus Christ was raised by God from the dead. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 4, "And declare to be," talking about Jesus Christ, "declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ pointed pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. He pointed those to the body by whom we have received grace and apostleship. So these men and women who go out and preach, their preaching is not in vain. It's not in vain because they're preaching about something that God did, which was raise his son from the dead. So when they brought the new light, the apostles, and the pastor, the teachers taught, and all these men and women that were appointed, they weren't false witnesses. Neither are you or me. We're not false witnesses. Because everything we do, we're relying on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're told, and yea, Christ is risen. In Acts, Romans 6, man, that's just so much. Romans chapter 6. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And here we're allowed to identify with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has an impact on us even in this life today. Because of the resurrection, we're allowed to walk in newness of life. Talk about resurrection life. Not even going to look at all the benefits and blessings we have because of where Jesus Christ is seated. But because we can identify with him, we can enjoy the benefits of resurrection life. Even here, I know we're going to enjoy a lot more in times to come. But even here, the resurrection has a key benefit to those who believe on the Lord. For we, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Guess what? There's a time coming when we're also going to get the benefits of an actual resurrection. Everything is centered on it. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For that he that is dead is freed from sin. So are we still in our sins yet? No, we're not in our sins anymore. Jesus Christ dealt with the sin problem. Now, if we be dead with Christ, verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For when he died unto sin once. Then he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because of the resurrection. Romans chapter 10. Guess what you got to believe? It's just so central, isn't it? So I think, you know, as we go through some of these verses, you begin to see that our preaching is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. We're not false witnesses. We're not yet in our sins. And all those who have died believing in Christ are not perished. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, what? That God hath raised him from the dead. Talk about being central to everything we believe. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So guess what? Are we still in our sins? No. You see, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as a result, guess what? We're no longer in our sins. And the fact that the truth that he was raised means that we have been freed from sin and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. In Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. It's hard to do justice to the resurrection of Jesus Christ by just reading a few verses here and there. But hey, it's Colossians chapter 2, fun to look at, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. See, we were raised with him. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Are we still in our sins? Absolutely not. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What a wonderful mind picture. Seated with him, died with him, raised with him, seated with him in the heavenlies. So would that, sanctified? We didn't look at a lot of these things you know, surety of heaven, and all these. Are we to be the most pitied of men and women? Absolutely not. We're the most blessed of men and women. And we haven't even looked at all of Ephesians, where it talks about all the spiritual blessings and all the things that we've gained because of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Not to be the most pitied of men and women at all. 2 Timothy, almost done. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They were preaching total lies because, you know, by his resurrection, we have the promise as well. It could not have passed because all those who believed on Jesus Christ hadn't been gathered together. There was no resurrection having taken place. But you see how these men, these guys here pointed out by Paul, by Revelation, these guys are destroying the faith, the believing of people, because they were saying there was no resurrection. It's past. It's done. You see how central it is to our doctrine? You see how central it is to all that we hope is going to happen? The resurrection of Christ, that resurrection, and the future resurrection. The gathering together and all the things that are going to happen in the future are tied to the resurrection. These guys are going around saying, oh, it's already happened, that future thing, you know, or you missed it. Well, I'm sure no one is saying that today, but couldn't have passed. And these guys were false witnesses. And here Paul was making a correction. He goes, no, hang on a second. These guys signaled them out. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. This is a wonderful verse. Hebrews chapter 11. It's saying to Timothy, you know, don't worry. Resurrection hasn't passed. Your faith that you're preaching is not in vain. You just keep preaching it. But these guys are trying to preach the wrong stuff. Hebrews chapter 11, at that wonderful end of the section, you know, all these wonderful men and women who looked for the coming of the Lord, coming of the Messiah, and, you know, were declared God as God to being righteous because they looked forward to his coming. In verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel and all the prophets of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, through righteousness obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. These men and women who lived, you know, we could spend hours and hours and hours on the records that talk about these men and women. They believed in the coming one, that someday the Lord would come. Was their believing in vain? Were they looking forward to something that never happened? Were they looking, because they were looking for a better resurrection? And guess what? That takes place after the gathering together. But they were guaranteed that because they believed on the coming one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything they believed, everything that they hoped for, and these are hundreds, thousands of men and women of the Old Testament, everything they believed was centered on the resurrection. Was their believing in vain? Absolutely not. Because if you read chapter 12, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He was raised because Christ is risen. All these men and women through time who have looked forward to the Messiah, and those today who are living today, who are born again, all of them, their believing is not in vain, and the witness is not in vain. The witness, some of these guys died. They died. They're tortured, beaten. Was that all in vain? No, absolutely not. all that is assured. They're assured of blessings and eternal life because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We'll close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Like I said, a lot of verses, a lot of sections we could go to. And we'll just close here. You could read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as well. We know about the gathering together. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised." If he hadn't raised him, there'd be no waiting, would there? "To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, by the way, which also delivered us from the wrath to come." Just a little side note there. You see that everything that we believe, those who believed in him, aren't perished. To the contrary, they have a hope that is sure, and even more, deliverance from wrath. Resurrection life today, to enjoy the blessings of resurrection life today, and to enjoy the blessings in eternity because of the resurrection. So, you know, let's never ever think that our preaching is in vain, the things we believe are in vain, or that we're ever just saying empty words. We're not false witnesses of God. We are not in our sins. And those who we know are loved ones and brothers and sisters, and those even of eternity, way back in 1,000 years ago, who died believing on the coming of the Lord, they didn't die in vain. They didn't perish in vain. And instead of being the most pitied, we're the most blessed of people because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's, you know, make sure we never forget that, and make sure we tell others as many as we possibly can about this wonderful and central truth to all that we hold dear in our lives. Okay.